Genesis chapter 13. This morning, what I'd like to do is share a little bit from the Word in Genesis, and also want to use this time to share as an opportunity to give an update for those of you who are visiting. We, as a family, are growing, and hopefully, as I speak, I can give color to what I'm talking about through this update. And certainly, if you're visiting with us and you'd like to know, you know, further or deeper what's going on, be more than willing to sit with you and share with you. We're open and honest, and we're not trying to hide anything. If you've been here, obviously you know some of the things that we've been going through over the past year, and so want to use morning service sermon time as a way to update as well as encourage. But always want to start in the Word, and I want to start in the book of Genesis chapter 13 and read this story here about Abraham and Lot, Abram and Lot, before Abram changed his name. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and in gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." The book of Genesis is an intriguing book. It's an entertaining book. It's a book that literally means beginnings. And yes, it tells the story of how God created the heavens and the earth, and how he created the cows and the birds and the fish, and how he created the mountains, how he created the skies and the waters, and how he separated the day and the night. Yes, it talks about those origins. But it also talks about the origin of something that I believe is paramount, because it speaks of the origin, or better yet, the continuation of relationship. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 26 and 27, where God creates man, there's something that's written there that has puzzled many of us ever since we read it. And that is when God says, "Let us make man in our image." That's a fascinating phrase. Let us. Up until then, you know, God said, "Let there be," and he said it was good, and God said this, and then he said it was good. But when it got to man, he says, "Let us make man in our image." Theologians and Christians and authors have been trying to figure out who the us was. Was it the Trinity? Was it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Perhaps. Was it God and his host of angelic beings? Perhaps. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that God, Jehovah, the God who we serve, before anything was created, He existed already in relationship. And then He creates man, and man is on earth, and God understood, well, since we're creating man in our image, it makes sense that this man should not be alone. So then God creates a suitable mate for the man and called her woman. We call her Eve. And thus, not necessarily the origin, but the continuation of relationship. And what do you read in Genesis? All the stories in Genesis, it's about relationship. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and his sons, Abram and Sarai, Abram and Lot, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Judah and Tamar. Do you see that Genesis is a book about relationships? I'd even go further to say, when you read throughout the Old Testament and all the Old Testament writings, the writings are about relationship. And here in Genesis chapter 13, we read of a relationship. Abram, his nephew Lot, God had already called Abram to follow him and told him that he was going to make him into a great nation. And God was blessing Abram, and apparently he had a lot of riches. And Lot being a relative is not far out of the realm of possibility that Lot being a relative would be just as blessed and rich as his uncle Abram. Something happened. They both got rich and both got a lot of property, and their herdsmen begin to fight each other. I think I said weeks ago, this is the first example of gang wars in the Bible. Abram, the uncle, goes to his nephew and says, listen, nephew, we're quarreling. We're fighting over stuff. We can't do this. Let's just separate. You go that way. In fact, Lot, you choose which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. Lot, being a young, kind of savvy dude, looked one way and says, man, it's kind of fertile over there. I can go get some more stuff. I'll go over there. Yeah, Uncle Abram, I'm going to go this way, Unc. Abram said, okay, I'll go that way. And they separate. It's a story about relationship. And in relationships, things happen. Sometimes in relationships, there's a split. That happens. When God talks about his disciples in the New Testament, the words he uses are those of a family. We say it all the time that we are family here at Reynoldsburg. We are God's family. Amen? We are drawn together by God and in relationship with one another because of who God is and what He has done for us. A family is a living thing. It can grow. It can shrink. It has new members. It has long-standing members. It has strengths and it has weaknesses. Like any family, our church family can be a place of tremendous pain, but it can also be a source of tremendous healing. One thing is clear. God calls us to family, and He calls us into relationship with one another. And this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of the Bible. I'm going to make some comments that the team that I'm going to talk about have helped draft and put together. These comments that I'm making regarding this update will be available to you. at the end of service. So if you miss something that I say, what's written, you'll get a copy of, you know, things that I say outside of this. Obviously, you won't get that, but we do have a recording if you want that. Last spring, for a number of reasons, but mainly out of a desire to make sure we were focused on God's purpose, I asked our church family to take a completely fresh look at how we treat each other and how we handle leadership within our church family. In response, our existing elders stepped down, and we suspended the process of adding new elders. I recommended that we take some time to reconnect as a family, to reach outside for some help in overcoming some repeating patterns within our church family, and then for us to be in position to restart the process of identifying elders by the end of the year. I'd like to take a few moments this morning just to update you, update the church family on the actions taken and where we are in this process. Last year, we gathered in several family meetings that asked for and received a lot of input from all who participated. This effort was led by committed and selfless individuals and helped us gain new understanding about ourselves and what we valued, as well as confirming the usefulness of getting some outside help for our church family. We reached out to Brother Randy Willingham from Arkansas for that help, and he visited us in the summer and then again in the fall. Our body identified to Randy a group of individuals within our church family that has the trust and confidence of broad segments of our church family, not necessarily leaders or movers or shakers, but individuals that most in our church family would be willing to listen to on matters affecting us. Now, Randy's goal has been to work with the team known as the Team of the Maturing, or the TOM, that our church family identified, knowing that if he could open the eyes and ears of those on the team to what God desires within his family and our church family, eyes and ears of those on the team to what God desires, then our church family would be willing to listen to what the team was learning, and that our church family would be willing to follow the example of humility embraced by the team. Now, I've given an update to our church family of personal reconciliation within the team that I've experienced. Dion stood before you and shared with you that I and a couple of members on the team have had conversations, courageous conversations, and we've been reconciled with one another. We apologize to one another. We are experiencing this healing that this our God can offer us. And I'm happy to say that this team continues to come to terms with the importance of truthful and genuine relationship within God's family. We are learning that it is impossible to separate Jesus's work of salvation and his command to love one another from the goal of truthful and genuine relationship. We are often reminded of the importance of vision. Right now, people is the vision. People is the vision. Right now, truthful and genuine relationships is the vision. It rests at the very heart of the gospel. Love one another as I have loved you. And as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, love is the one spiritual gift that we all possess. And it's the one we need to learn best how to emulate Jesus, to develop it, exercise it, and put it into practice in our daily lives and in our relationships. The team has spent countless hours reviewing instruction from Randy Willingham on how this command to love one another is tested in our relationships within the church family. We have studied how human nature responds by involving others, sometimes in godly ways, sometimes in self-serving ways. Yes, ungodly. We have studied conflict and its stages, and this study has been followed up with hours of discussion among the team to make sure we are truly absorbing what is being shared. But much more than that, the members of this team have not merely listened to and discussed this instruction and insight, but we are making this a way of life and practice with each other. Equipped with the instruction, members of the team have engaged and continue to engage with one another in deeply meaningful and sometimes exhausting, sometimes painful conversations. And in these conversations, we are seeking to understand one another and be truly reconciled with one another. Humility is being shown, truth has been shared, apologies have been offered and accepted, commitments to each other and community have been renewed. This team stands reconciled and united in humility and a desire to place the needs of others before our own. But while achieving this goal is great, source of encouragement for us, it means nothing if not shared and embraced with the entire family. It is time for the work of relationship repair, rebuilding, and strengthening that which was broken. This is going to involve several steps. And remember, the vision is godly relationship people, truthful and genuine relationship within God's family, just as Jesus commanded of us. The first step is that we are planning a weekend in February with Randy Willingham coming to visit us again. During his time here, Randy and members of the team will facilitate a number of classes and discussions and dialogues open to all in our church family that will focus on the key points of what we've been learning about in relationships in the church and managing conflict. Between now and then, we plan to provide updates in the form of bulletin inserts that will bring the family up to speed with more details about what the team has and is doing and learning and what it has felt like to experience these events. We do not want to suggest by us meeting together that we're some privileged society or that we're some special group of people that meets in secret boardrooms. No. We're open, and we want what God is doing to begin to just permeate throughout this place. We also envision this weekend in February and the time leading up to it, following it, for members of our church family to take active steps to be truly reconciled with one another. Some wounded or hurting relationships can probably experience healing right now, particularly if they involve someone on the team. Other stressed or broken relationships will benefit from the classes we'll hold that first weekend in February before healing and reconciliation is meaningful. And we expect that some relationships may need the help of a godly mediator before restoration can take root. And that is another reason Randy will be joining us the first weekend in February. Randy is offering himself to serve as an unbiased mediator to help those who are on opposing ends of whatever to come together and to be reconciled. We believe that once our church family has had an opportunity to experience what God intends for us in truthful and genuine relationship, we will be solidly on the path of God's vision for this body. We will also believe that the foundation for identifying what God's values and elders and their role within his family and our church family in Reynoldsburg will have been laid. And that once we have laid a meaningful discussion of what God sees as important, we can begin the process of identifying elders within our church family. So, in summary, we want you to keep the first weekend of February open. I know that's Super Bowl weekend. So what? I like football. So what? We want you to keep that open for a time of learning, engaging, and healing. Please be mindful that in the bulletin over the next coming weeks, that there will be additional updates and details from the team. Church, I've said it before, we're on the road to true healing. We're on the road to a healing that will take place in new ways, exciting ways. And I know it's been several months, and I know some of us are tired, and I know some of us want it right now. Change is coming. Change is coming. Healing is coming, and we are going to march towards reconciliation. Resolution is something that we hope will come too, but there are issues that we may not resolve, but we can be reconciled. I wonder if Abram and Lot ever resolved their issues. Turn back to Genesis chapter 14. So last we knew Abram and Lot separated and he didn't want to fight. Some things took place, and if you read chapter 14, there's some guys with some names I can hardly pronounce. They came in, started wreaking havoc in the place and started warring against some people, and come to find out that Lot had got carried away by these group of people that were coming in and causing trouble. Verse number 13 says, of chapter 14, says, one who had escaped came and reported this to Abram, came to report to Abram that they had his nephew Lot. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Moreh, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born of his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Habah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Abram and Lot had issues. But when they messed with his family, Abram went Mission Impossible on them. Organized a band of his family, and they went in and they got his nephew. Why? Because they're family. No matter what we go through, no matter what issue we got with one another, no matter how much we disagree, no matter how much we may have hurt each other in the past, no matter how much distance there is between us, we're still family. And with the same fervor and desire that Abram had to go Tom Cruise on him, to go rescue his nephew, that's the same desire, will, passion that we need to have as we march towards reconciliation. How many of y'all believe that? I want you, if you have never done it before, to spend the next several days, the rest of this month, on your knees in prayer for this, because we're going to heal. We're going to grow. But we can't heal or grow if we're not willing to be reconciled. I love the story of Abram and Lot. It teaches us a lot. It teaches us that, you know what, as long as we're family, we're going to fight. Amen. How many of y'all grew up with brothers and sisters? I grew up with a brother that was double the size of me, but I would still try to fight that joker for something. And he would knock me out. And I don't remember most of the fights, but I'm just saying. We're family. We're going to fight. But you know what? I talk to my brother every day. I don't think I can go a day without talking to my brother. I know it drives my wife crazy. What y'all on the phone laughing about now? Laughing about the time he knocked me out. We're family. We're going to have issues. But when push comes to shove, we're family. So all I'm asking for you this morning is that if you're a part of this body, if you're considering this body, that you would get on your knees and pray for this body. And that you would search, go reach down, deep down in your heart. I know some of you are on the verge of saying, I've had it, I'm done. I'm asking you right now, reach down and fight for reconciliation. Go Tom Cruise, go Mission Impossible and fight for reconciliation. Take everything that you have and surrender that to God. As we sing this song of invitation, it's an invitation song. If you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, and you want to get baptized this morning, we'll do that for you. We'll do that for you. This is an invitation for you. If you want to profess faith in Jesus Christ, you want to be baptized, we'll do that. But this is also an invitation for you to surrender. Surrender your will to God. Surrender your position to God. Surrender whether you're right or not to God. This is an invitation right now to surrender. Wave the white flag in favor of reconciliation. And if you are going to surrender to that road to reconciliation, then you will be on your knees for the next 20 or so days. You will participate Super Bowl weekend as Randy Willingham comes here, as we talk about conflict resolution, conflict management. We talk about triangulation. We talk about all those things. We talk about God's desire for us to have relationship and love for one another. If you're waving a flag in favor of reconciliation, you will participate in conversations with one another, courageous conversations with one another. You might even seek to employ someone to help you in that conversation for mediation, perhaps Randy Willingham himself. This is an invitation for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's also an invitation for all of us to surrender to reconciliation. What do you say? What do you say? I invite you to surrender. Let's stand, let's sing.